This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the global payment platform empowering businesses to go beyond. In today's digital world, Payoneer's platform connects millions of entrepreneurs, small businesses, marketplaces, and enterprises, making it easy to pay, get paid, and grow your business with access to new markets, new opportunities, and working capital. Visit us at payoneer.com to discover more. When is it a good time to start your own business? Would it be straight out of school or while you're in a day job and you're dreaming of becoming your own boss? Maybe there's really no specific time, but when the timing is right, that's when you have a go at it. This is Matthew Espinal, your host at Going Beyond, a podcast about entrepreneurs and how they were able to break through borders and geographies to bring their business to a wider audience. In today's episode, we speak to Joshua Chin, who dared to start his email marketing agency while he was working towards his university degree.
I first met Joshua over cozy lunch at the Central Business District in Singapore. At that time, he already had a thriving business and was just about to graduate from university. Now his email marketing company is one of the known specialists in the field of e-commerce. Joshua, it's a pleasure to speak with you again. Welcome to Going Beyond.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what has changed since last year aside from the global pandemic?
Oh man, what has changed? That's a good question to start the conversation. Besides the new context that we live in today, I think the company has grown also pretty relatively significantly in a pretty short amount of time. So last year, I believe when we met, the company was about 20 plus 30 people. Right now we have close to 70. I believe we exceeded 70 already. The entire dynamics of the company has changed significantly. So we're kind of adapting to the new perspective that we need to take as we grow and as we move forward. Because the work that we do is very manpower intensive. So I'm also kind of trying my best to keep up with the new strategies and the new ideas that surrounds building, you know, operational excellence in a growing agency in a service-driven business. So those are the things that I'm kind of looking a little bit more deeper into recently. Nothing super fun, but I guess the pandemic has kind of forced me to just stay put and just bury my head down on these things a little bit more, which I guess is a good thing.
I remember that you mentioned that you started Kronos while still in uni. So, you know, how did you find the time to put up the business and also attend school at the same time?
Oh, yeah, I did. So Kronos was actually launched in a dorm room in my university. So it was October of 2017. And at that point, I was near my breaking point. My business was brand new. And I've landed at that point my sixth client in just two short months. But the problem was I'm also a full-time university student with a full-time internship. So you're right. I was basically waking up at 5 a.m., working all the way until 11 p.m., just trying to keep up with it all. And honestly, what drove me was the fact that I was working really hard to give my family, my mom, my dad, and my younger sister, and myself, obviously, a better life. Something definitely had to give. A little bit of that was sleep and mostly social life. My social life was very, very limited, and it often had to overlap with what I was doing with the business. And if it had zero relation to what I was doing in the business, I usually kind of just pushed that aside. So my life kind of revolved around building the business first, then completing my degree, and then my health and my social life, which is not always the best idea. I like this analogy that was used by my mentor. There are kind of four flames on the stove that you can kind of light up at any point in time, but you have just a limited amount of gas. At that point in my life, I had kind of work and business on high. I had my health on kind of mid-low. I had relationships on low. And I had basically anything that's fun, social in nature, on basically zero. And that was kind of how I lived the first year of business. No regrets of that. And I was 100% aware of what that is. And I knew that was kind of a seasonal thing, where once I'm past a certain stage of stability and certainty, I can then kind of ease off the pedal on work and business and be a little bit kinder to myself and to my relationships. So yeah, that was what happened.
That's pretty amazing focus and tenacity. Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I have. I actually have. And I went to university in Singapore, the National University of Singapore, with the intention of joining an entrepreneurship internship program, where we got placed in startups all over the world. I got placed in the Singapore program, and I was placed in a startup basically locally, and it was exactly what I wanted to do. When I was younger, my parents were business people, and I grew up in a town called Johor Bahru in Malaysia, just across the border from Singapore. So when I was 10, my parents declared bankruptcy and they divorced. But before the divorce, my life was simple, peaceful, and in my mind, basically perfect. My dad had a fruit stall in a mall. So my sister and I would be, you know, playing around in the toy stores that were surrounding the mall. And that was one of my fondest memory. So the bankruptcy and breakup left my family basically kind of fractured. It also forced that sense of responsibility on me to regain that financial security for my family. And I knew that I didn't want to be sort of the proverbial clog in a machine and be kind of just another worker in a massive organization with no soul. Because I knew that would kill me inside. And seeing how fragile relationships were in my life, I knew that if I weren't working hard to build relationships and putting in the hard work to really invest in my time on Earth, it would be time wasted. So from a relatively young age, I kind of knew that I wanted to carve my own path. I just didn't know what exactly it was. And I didn't have kind of grand visions of what I wanted to create or impact in the world. I was, to be fully frank, I was very short-term minded. And one of the first online businesses that I ventured into was eBay dropshipping, because it made money and it was an online business. It had, you know, low capital requirements, and it was easy to get started with. And that was my first taste into making money online. And in fact, it wasn't even drop shipping per se. It was basically what it's called. It's retail arbitrage, where I was buying things off a discount from retail websites like Walmart.com, Home Depot, and selling them off on the regular price on eBay. And people bought that because it's retail price, and I made a small profit out of that margin. And yeah, so that was kind of my initial venture into the online world. But I realized that, sure, it made money, but it's not what I wanted to do for the long term, because it was very, very transactional. It had zero soul, and I felt that I might as well just be working in a big corporation with just as little soul as I had in this business. Kind of determined to find something that I actually enjoyed, I took all the money that I had, I reinvested that into courses online, and books, and kind of information about online businesses and building an organization and what that's like. And then I found a course on e-commerce email marketing, of all things. And I loved it immediately. You know, just like eBay, it had the immediacy of selling something. It had that immediate feedback loop that I was that I really enjoyed. But I could also build relationships with my clients. And in return, I was building relationships for my clients with their customers. And that itself was a, you know, it was fun to me. And it was as simple as that. And kind of I found that, you know, this brought value to the table and I could get paid by doing this. And so I continued that path and I just doubled down on what I knew was working, invested a lot more into my education. And that was kind of how we, how I got started at the beginning. Basically anything that's fun, social in nature on basically zero. And that, that was kind of how I lived my, the first year of business. No regrets of that. And I was 100% aware of what that is. And I knew that that was kind of a seasonal thing where once I'm past a certain stage of stability and certainty, I can then kind of ease off the pedal on work and business and be a little bit kinder to myself and to my relationships.
So I wanted to ask, because you seem to put value into the relationship and also, you know, having some soul into the business transaction, and it's not just, you know, as you said, purely transactional. So how is Kronos different from other companies, and what are the things that are important to how you do business?
From the get-go, I knew that I wanted to build an organization in my ideals of what work should be like based on the core values that I believed in, and based on the experience that I wanted to have in, you know, coming to work every day. If you're spending close to like 70% of your waking hours in a with an organization, it better be some place that you're proud of to be you know, to be spending your time in. With that, I kind of took it to obviously not all ideals are met. some serious or reality checks along the way, but for most parts we stayed true to our core values, and that really guided us through our journey, both in terms of how we dealt with one another in the company and how we dealt with clients and how we treated our clients. And what sets us apart as, you know, as an agency, not just as an email agency, but as an agency, is just how much pride and excellence and dedication we put into every client that we work with, every account that we work with. I felt that it was the right thing to do, and I thought that was the norm, and I didn't feel that it differentiated us in any way. But after having, you know, conversations with clients that came to us after working with you know, other agencies in the space, the you know, the most flattering feedback, that comment that I've received consistently is that, you know, people would say Kronos is the partner, the agency partner that we can fully trust, and we don't have to worry about, you know, results not being there, having to manage, spend additional time to manage results from the agency. It's Kronos is one of the partners that I can go fully hands off with and know that I'm, you know, getting a massive bang for my buck by working with them. And that's really who we are. So we really go to the extremes of making things super profitable and super high performing for our clients.
So after the break, we'll hear how Kronos made the jump from Singapore to your expansion in the region. So stay tuned.
This podcast is made possible by Payoneer, the global payment platform trusted by millions of entrepreneurs, small businesses, and enterprises worldwide.
So now we're back. We're back with John, founder and owner of Kronos Agency. We want to find out if the plan has always been about growing his business beyond Singapore's borders.
So Kronos started off pretty much as a a non-geographically bound business, wherein our leads and clients and partners came in via referrals. And most of the referrals are community-based referrals. So people who knew people in the e-commerce direct-to-consumer space, which also meant that we didn't have to rely on, you know, fixed geographical boundaries. Although the majority of our workforce is based out of Asia, we do have a scattered workforce in Europe, North America, and so on and so forth. We never really thought about expansion from the perspective of geographies. I am based in Singapore, but when we think about going, you know, expanding globally, there were a couple of considerations that kind of came into play eventually. They were kind of managing payments, managing transactions across borders. That was a big kind of a big roadblock to us scaling into other markets, not necessarily for clients, but for talents. So we grow, you know, as much as we grow in acquiring clients, we grow as much in acquiring talents as well, because it's honestly a relatively linear path and linear relationship between talents and clients. So we really had to consider both sides of the puzzle. And a big part of what makes that work is the ability to facilitate transactions. And it's often as simple as that, but we were really blessed, honestly. Not, you know, I'm not asked to say anything about this, but I think Payoneer helped us a lot in that process. Because from the get-go, we didn't have to worry about not being able to transact in different countries, not being able to remit money in through different borders. We had 100% kind of reliance and confidence in Payoneer to complete that piece of the puzzle. But after having, you know, conversations with other peers in my network, I realized that that's actually quite a key. It can be a roadblock for some people in kind of moving into different marketplaces. But yeah, so because of that, we didn't really have to worry about the geographical boundaries. What we had to worry about was, how do I penetrate a certain community? It started with, you know, the small startup type e-commerce brands and businesses. And what was that community like? Who were they listening to? Who were they? What did they desire? What were their problems? And we kind of catered our business to fit those needs. As we grew, that expanded to small and medium-sized e-commerce businesses. And today we serve e-commerce brands ranging from 1 mil to 50 mil in annual revenue on average. And that's kind of how we looked at growth and whether or not we are able to serve community needs instead of geographical needs.
So let's spark plans for global domination for just a little bit. Are there challenges that you experience that you think are unique to you or your business?
I think not necessarily unique to me or my business. I've come to realize that most of the problems that we face as an organization are not unique. It's someone else has probably been there, done that before. Our business model is nothing revolutionary. Our core values are something that we take really seriously, but it's not nothing. There is literally nothing that I believe that we face today that someone else hasn't faced before. And for that reason, I think we're pretty lucky to be able to kind of tap into a network and kind of understand, oh, so you have been here, you've been in the same spot before. What did you do? What do you think? You know, what are some of the questions that I should be asking? And that's super powerful to have, because knowing that I'm not alone is kind of half the battle won. It's that sense of, all right, there is an answer out there. But some of the most common problems that we face involve people and HR. I graduated from business school, and one of my biggest regrets is not having enough education in the HR function. I think it's such an important function to really have a good grasp upon, especially in building a new business that revolves around people. I mean, in general, all businesses revolve around people. It is a business about people. But it's even more so for a company like ours, where we are dependent on our talents, individuals, to produce great results. And that is our service. That is our product. And that's how people perceive us as a business and as a company. So we're only as good as our people. And if there are people problems, it is a business problem by and large. The questions that we are thinking about these days include, how do we compensate equitably, fairly, across different regions in globally? How do we think about performance management on a weekly basis, or a monthly, on a quarterly basis? What's the most effective way to manage a leadership pipeline? How do we think about succession planning as a really small organization? And how do we fill key roles? And how do we identify gaps that managers have to fill as we move them up the ladder, from managing individuals to managing managers, and then managing functions, and eventually managing a business? So those are kind of the questions that we are asking right now that we don't really have too much of an answer to.
So if there were things that you wish you knew before setting up your own shop, what would those be? I'm sure you've said that, there's a lot of challenges that are probably not unique to yours, but if there was something specific about, oh gosh, I wish I knew this before I did all of this, what would those be?
It's not necessarily it's not necessarily something to know, but rather a mindset to have in the back of your mind, especially in the fast growing business. We're relatively fast growing for such a manpower dependent company, and for someone who's as inexperienced as I am, I think we're running things pretty quickly. Is that there are going to be fires every single day, and everything would seem like the end of the world when you're inexperienced like me, and everything would seem important, and everything would demand for attention, from as small as a mistake on a typo on the website or on our sales funnel, all the way up to a client dispute. These are the things that you kind of have to deal with on a daily basis. But as a fast-growing company, there are going to be tens of these every single day, and they're going to stack up on its own, like over and over again, and it's going to add up over time. The challenge is in knowing what fires to fix and what fires to continue, what fires to let continue burn. And that's really what makes all the difference, because there's only so much time we can spend as business owners, and not just about time, but the mental capacity and mental space that we have as business owners to kind of work on problems. And if we occupy too much of our mind space with all the little fires that may not be the most impactful, it's gonna create an incredibly slow moving organization, no matter what else is happening in the company, and eventually that would turn into a roadblock in and of itself. And that's often how founders or business owners become roadblocks in their own organizations. If I knew that sooner, I would be much more conscious about the problems that I try to fix and the problems that I ignore.
It's actually been lovely speaking with you, Joshua, but unfortunately, we're at the end of the conversation. I know that we could go on and on about, you know, a lot of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
Enjoying lunch with you. So, but before we hang up, can you share with us what we can expect from Kronos? You know, what does the future hold for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the next couple of quarters, it's going to be pretty interesting. In the short term, we are putting together a BFCM package for e-commerce brands that are trying to take advantage of this, you know, illustrious, super profitable quarter of the year, which, you know, some brands may not fully understand or fully have a plan yet on how to deal with this, you know, the new norm that we see today and all the opportunities that's out there. We have a package that's available for brands that are trying to take advantage of that season. We are also developing a couple of new marketing channels for e-commerce brands. SMS chatbots are at the forefront of our discussion right now. And it's going to be super exciting because we see ourselves as e-commerce profit partners and not an agency. So all the clients that deal with us know that we are a partner that is in it for the long term to grow their business. And you know, SMS and chatbot and basically any other marketing channel that we bring onto the scene and onto the table will be built to basically grow the businesses of our clients to increase the profitability and sustainability of our clients' brands. So I'm super excited about that. And that's what's going to happen in the next coming quarters.
The idea for a business can strike anywhere. The only difference between those who take it to the next level or who end up just dreaming about it is taking the leap and just doing it. Thank you for listening. This is Matthew Espinal, your host at Going Beyond. Today's episode of Going Beyond was written, edited, and produced by Eileen Borromeo. Going Beyond is a bi-weekly podcast with new episodes available on Mondays. You can listen to Going Beyond on Spotify or any other major podcast platform. Make sure you subscribe now so you never miss an episode.